Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. 1798part2.org and republicreview.org, as well as mobiusstrippress.com. You are listening to the only radio show in the nation, in the world, that actually has the solution. It's not just a radio show. There is no other content in any other medium, period, that actually can support and purport the fact that there is only one process, and this is the process in getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. It has never been these little nuances, these little problems, these pet peeves that everybody wants to chase. It's all about compliance to the Constitution, and that's what I'm here to do, is to prove that. As you know, I've done that before. I've yet to have anybody refute me, even academic scholars who write plethoras of books on the Constitution. And so I am here and ready to retire very quickly if what I'm asserting is not the only solution. If you cannot listen to this entire show, by the way, it is rebroadcasted tomorrow at 5 p.m. to 6. It is also rebroadcasted on Saturday at 1 p.m. to 2, and then again on Sunday from 9 p.m. to 10. So you can get your fix of Reclaiming the Republic a few more times if you did not get this entire show, or you just want to hear this one more time, because I get it. It's really illuminating and insightful. But that's not because of me. It has everything to do with the content, because I'm truly standing on the shoulders of great men who have already written all of these things. I'm just putting it together for you. So, you know what they say, don't shoot the messenger, because that's all I am, is the messenger. And so this is an educational show, and as I always tell you, you can get these podcasts from reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you want to get these so that you can stay abreast with the content and be able to stitch together what these solutions are and what we need to do in Reclaiming the Republic, because I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. I need everybody's help to get on board. And as a matter of fact, today I'm going to be pleading and begging for you to send your money. Instead of contributing to some of the campaigns around here, I'm going to ask you to contribute to campaigns where it really matters, where we really need to get the message started and stood up, because we can get a David to face Goliath and get other Davids to join this first David to stand up. But I'll get into that very shortly. As you know, it's local announcement time. And so Republican Coffee Club, Rob Chase, who I'm hoping to have in here by next week to actually talk about what's going on with his race. And he actually has the Republican Coffee Club at 7 o'clock every Friday morning at the Something Else Deli over on 152 South Sherman. And this Friday, it will be Catherine Roden, and she is from the National Weather Service. So if you got a problem with the weather, go see her. Show up and tell her how to fix things. I'm sorry. Anyway, like we can fix the weather. Maybe the chemtrails are helping. Maybe she can tell people, if you're a chemtrail person, maybe she can start helping you understand what these chemtrails are, why they're doing that. Because to me, from where I sit, I can actually see the aircraft fly by and deposit their whatever they're spraying in the air, because it's very obvious when all of a sudden the contrail stops and the particulates start. It's not rocket science here. Anybody can recognize the difference between a contrail and a chemtrail. But the question is, why? What are they doing? And, you know, can we get this to Trump? Maybe she can. I think it'd be great if a whole bunch of people showed up Friday to actually kind of, you know, confront her on that, because maybe she's not ready for it. Anyway, I'm sorry. Next week, August 3rd, it'll be Catherine Nichols, and she is from the Spokane County Veteran Services. And so If you haven't heard, there are all sorts of problems with the Veterans local administration locally. They've had, you know, not a very good record. And I know that there are a lot of people in the organization that really want to do well. And so let's meet up and not beat up her on the 3rd so that we can find out, you know, what she's doing, how people can help, or, you know, what we can start looking forward to. Because I do know this, that this area has the highest concentration of veterans per square mile than probably anywhere else in the United States. So, and that's big. I mean, that is a huge thing to consider. Anyway, movie night. Northwest Grassroots Movie Night will be August 8th. And so I hope that you've got it on your calendar. This becomes a standing event that you attend because they're always good. This is a great place to actually start recognizing the fact that you are not alone, that there are all sorts of other people that share your sentiments, because there's really more of a, it starts off as a social hour and it kind of ends up as a social hour. And the food's great there too. And I really appreciate the fact that Darcy's kind of allows them to do this. And so please, please show up, and whatever they're doing, it's always good. I've yet to be disappointed in the content that they're providing. As you know, on my Red State Talk radio show, those of you who've been listening, and why you really want to listen, is because I've been covering the resolutions. We've been going through the Virginia resolutions lately, as well as I kind of take what I talk about on the Spokane politics at the Spokane level at a national level, because it literally transfers. It is something that can be transposed from a small county level, city level type of thing to a national level. Because bottom line, it's all about the grassroots. It's all about everybody getting organized and pulling together. So what we need to do here is no different than anywhere else. And what I want to do is I want to kind of play that old ploy that, you know, the newscast, you know, does to you every day. They say, film at 11. Well, what I have up for you next is I have an interview with Aline Lindstrand, and I will give you my endorsements after that, because I've kind of told people I wanted to give you my endorsements for your ballots. For those of you who still have your ballots, I know that the primary ballots have dropped. You should have had them, and hopefully you have already mailed them in, because if you've mailed them in, then you already have a good opinion on who to vote for and so forth. But what I'm intending on doing is for those of you who are either vacillating or what, and those who are thinking about getting more involved than you already have, I'm going to propose some paradigm shifts for you, because bottom line, we need to start looking at our elections pragmatically. This is kind of a blue state, and this is a state that is kind of engulfed in political correctness, and I'll explain a lot of that a little bit later. But bottom line is, film at 11, so as soon as we come back from the interview that I have in the next segment with Aline, then we will get into the election, my endorsements and how to process this and what we need to do. And so for for those of you who, like I said, have already mailed your ballots off, I commend you, and my hat's off to you, because at least you're dedicated, and hopefully you're equally informed as your dedication, that you're actually making a good choice on who you're picking. I don't necessarily just vote, you know, especially in primaries. I think it's really important to send a message that people start understanding, maybe the status quo, maybe the standards aren't being met. But I think in some cases we have to be very careful, because there is a huge danger in the fact that we are no longer truly a representative government, that we are a democracy, and that this state has applied a unconstitutional concept of the top two. Because bottom line, we have, whether we like it or not, we have established a party system, and the top two basically negates the recognition of representation for a party system, as well as there's all sorts of things that they have destroyed here in this state and in every state regarding little r republicanism and representative government. But before we go into that break, let me tell you real quick, if you want to help, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I could definitely use help. If whether you want to help getting things locally organized and working with other leaders in the local area, then that'd be great. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you've got a computer, you're computer literate, you've got resources like a phone and so forth, and you're not afraid to, you know, call somebody and have somebody hang up on you, excuse me, then, you know, you can help and you will make a difference, and I can prove that to you. I do want to tell you that there's kind of an interesting thing going on in the Wyoming gubernatorial race, and that the candidate that has actually signed the pledge for supporting the Constitution, who has lived in Wyoming for years, for, you know, well over a decade or more, and has a practice, a business, and everything else in Wyoming, ended up moving a few years ago to another residence in Wyoming. He's paying taxes, and I don't know the full picture of whether he's paying taxes on the structure and everything else, or whether that was all differentiated, because I'm under the impression that it wasn't differentiated, that he is still considers his home and everything else as a part of Wyoming, because part of his property is in Colorado, and somebody has thrown out this concept that, you know, to eliminate him because he's really perceived as a threat to the establishment and the status quo candidates out there that are willing to do anything. And this is really a progressive tactic. They're claiming that he can't meet the residency because he's living out of state. And like that was his intention. The state of Wyoming has continued to recognize him as a Wyomingian. And I'm going, really? Wow. So it's going to a court case. And unfortunately, we are going to have a judge decide what his real intent is. And hopefully that judge has a little bit of providence and wisdom and understanding, you know, this whole process and how it's been construed as a political jolt to try to upset the system. But anyway, I'm at a heartbreak. When we come back, we'll have Aline with us, like I said. And then after that, film at 11, we will have the political picks for the local run. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so we are back, and I have in the studio with us Aline Lindstrom. Is that right?
It is right.
And so it's Al.
Yes.
There we go. The important thing, and the reason I asked you, thank you so much for coming in. The reason I asked Aline to come in is because elections are very important. I believe in self-governance, and I believe that election is your duty. Your duty-bound and obligation as a citizen is participating in that before we lose our self-governance if you stop doing that. So I asked her to come in to kind of help emphasize why it is critical that you participate in this because we want to turn around our voter turnout. So, Elaine, the microphone is yours.
Well, thank you very much for having me in. And it is a passion of mine. I have been election observing for almost 9 years. And when I see participation at 30% or lower, it's more than discouraging. It's, why are people so careless about freedom? Freedom must be protected. It must be fought for. And I'm not meaning necessarily taking up arms. In our everyday life, we have to fight for freedom. We have to fight for those who are telling lies.
In the last election, how many people voted in the primary and the general? It was like 20% and 30%, right?
It was a little over 20.
And a little over 30.
Yeah.
Right. And, yeah. And folks, what that means is that we are allowing, because you've said this before, if we do not have high voter turnout, then it just opens the door for manipulation. So run with that, please.
Mail-in ballots, which our state is only mail-in. We do not have poll sites. We are one of three states, maybe four, who only do mail-in. And mail-in creates a lot of extra ballots running around. People can call in and request a second ballot. Now, that's not going to count twice necessarily, but there are ways, and I'm not going to go into detail for the lack of time, of how if you knew certain information, you could get somebody else's ballot and vote it. Okay, now, you would never know that. Most of you out there don't even know you can track your ballot at the election office. It's called Track My Ballot. You go online, and you can find out when they received it, the processing that's going on. What's very confusing to most people, not confusing, it's unknown actually, so it couldn't be confusing if they don't know it, is ballots are counted a certain way. We get so many ballots in. Which ones are actually counted? And that's another subject, because it is an important one to figure out how many ballots are actually going to be counted. There is no guarantee your ballot will be counted. Does your signature not match what's on file? Will you get something in the mail that says you need to sign this form? And this is what certain candidates will be looking at. If there's a large number of ballots out that have mismatched signatures, they're going to try to get those people to vote.
Right, but tell me about the advantage of manipulation with a low voter turnout.
What I'm seeing and what I'm understanding from the whole system is that when the system is, I would say at this point, overwhelmed by 50-60% turnout, totally different, it's much harder to have adjustments made if they were going to be made. I don't have that little fly on the wall. I wish I would. Did. You know,
we all do.
The fly with the camera, actually, too.
We will send flies to you.
There you go. but understanding that there are ways of manipulation, it is just harder to do it when you have a good turnout.
Right.
They have everything they can do with the highly processing we do to get those through than taking time to figure out how we could alter something.
Right. And so, folks, if you didn't garner this, if we can overwhelm the system by participation, that one thing that you are duty-bound as a citizen of self-governance, then I think that's a good thing, because what we want to do, and I'll even say this, there's a reason why progressive states want to institute this process, because it gives them an advantage. And as a matter of fact, you were the one that made that comment about Karl Marx. He says, what was that again?
The paraphrase, because I can't remember exactly what he said, is, I don't care who the people vote for. I care who counts the votes.
And there you go. And that's one of the reasons why this is going, I don't want to say rampant, but this is slowly infiltrating all of these progressive states. I think New Jersey has a voter ballot, vote or mail-in.
They might. A lot of states were looking at it. It was highly promoted as, years back when it came to Washington, it was promoted as faster,
and cheaper,
neither which were true.
Right.
And when you look at the system and the processing from the very beginning to the end, and I sent you an 8-page thing, the life of a ballot, it's a little discouraging when you look at that and thinking there's no way it's even needed or necessary.
And as a matter of fact, that
that life of a ballot, that's, I think it's a PDF you sent me. If not, I'll put it in PDF. Yeah. I'm going to put that up on the website this week for those people who really want to understand better the election process, or have a more profound understanding, I should say, of our election process. It is not what you would think it should be, and it's not transparent enough. I've been very vocal on that, and I don't want to bother or waste Aline's time. So is there anything more that helps them on a manipulation on a low voter turnout?
That helps the manipulation?
Yes, helps, lends to manipulation, yes.
Well, there's a lot of different ways, and I honestly didn't want to go into this different ways because I don't want people to ever be discouraged. Just knowing it should be enough, I would hope.
But my point is if you don't vote, then you're lending to
yes,
it.
Absolutely.
If everybody votes, like Aline is saying, if we overwhelm the system and everybody votes, then you make it harder for that to occur.
You do, because there would have to be constant adjustments going on to have certain outcomes, which is entirely beyond likely.
Okay.
On some areas.
And are you understanding this? This is actually, this has to be a credo and just like a standard thing. Like, okay, when you wake up in the morning, you know, do you turn on your coffee pot? You go do your teeth, your hygiene. So you have to make this as a regular routine on a yearly basis, maybe not daily, because we don't get to vote every day. But we do get to vote, and when we do vote, you have to make sure it becomes a part of your routine to ensure that we're not allowing, and I'll just use the kids in our dental, it's viruses, parasites, or what have you in our body, that hygiene is very important. We don't want to allow parasites into our voting process, so we all have to brush the system.
You know, I think people are so used to freedoms, even though some are going away, and businesses and taxation and control over our everyday lives and businesses. But we're so used to certain kinds of freedoms. If it is not talked about, if it is not insisted upon in our thinking and our speaking, people do stop voting. They forget how important it is. This goes away. They want to complain, but they've not taken part as the very basic freedom we have is voting in a free society. Look at all the other countries, Iran, Iraq, when they have their elections. Some of them, when they finally get to vote, they get purple thumbs, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's what we need. That you can't reduplicate a
can't
purple
hide
thumb.
It. Right.
Australia, you have fines and could go to jail if you don't vote.
Actually, I'm starting an initiative to actually send people to jail for 30 days if they don't vote. And
I think it's that important. Honestly, I do. And I have no patience, honestly, with people who say, oh, I don't like the system, or you're saying that there's irregularities.
I don't care.
If you voted, there wouldn't be near as many.
If you use the roads, if you use infrastructure, if you use government in any way.
Get a paycheck.
Yes. I believe that you are obligated to participate in this process. And again, folks, I want you to shift your paradigm. It's not about how bad the system is. The system is bad and getting worse because you're not voting.
That is exactly right. Thank you. That's my point that I've been trying to make.
Change your paradigm. We absolutely... You're going to get, and I forgive me for this, but from this show on, going into November, there's going to be a lot more shows that are going to be focused on trying to motivate you. I'm going to have candidates on. I'm going to have information. I hope to have Aline back on, and that way we can help give you the information you need to literally start shifting the paradigm, because it is pathetic to see an area that loves freedom, because this area, they have a word for this, is the readout area on the conservative side. People are moving here to be free. And it's sad to see so many patriots that are not participating. We got 2 minutes. Any parting shots?
Yes, I do. One of them would be you vote. You listening, you vote, and then you tell your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, people at church, people that we work with. Tell everybody you can. You know, this is the one time, one area that I'm okay with a little guilt. Guilt him into voting if you have to.
If you're a grandparent, you know how to do that. I'll even go as far as to say, I don't want to know who you are, but if you are passionate about this and you know other people that aren't, just tell them to give you their ballot and you can vote for them and then they can just sign it. I know this is wrong, but I am just telling you, it is that important to get every ballot that goes out back into the system. We can no longer allow, we're giving them latitude. We're giving those who are counting the ballots to create the outcome that they want. If we can move it into an overwhelming burden for them, then we take that back. Do you understand this? I hope you do. I don't know when we can have you back, and we're going to have the primary in just a couple of weeks. And so I hope to have you back maybe right after the primary when we kind of have the dust settle from that so that we can kind of talk about the outcome and everything else. So thank you so much for coming in, Elaine.
Thank you.
Folks, we're going to a break, as you know, excuse me, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Okay, so I am back, and Elaine is gone, and as I promised, because it's Film at 11 time, let me get into these predictions, not predictions, my endorsements. Actually, it's really more of my endorsement or my view of how I would be voting in very specific races that we're facing right here, right now. And so, first off, at the very top would be the U.S. Senate race. Now, there isn't enough candidates for this race. Actually, there's plenty of candidates. There's too many. But the bottom line is that out of all of these candidates, only one has kind of reached out and signed the pledge to committing to the Constitution, which you know is my focus. And that the only candidate that has done that stepped away from the establishment, stepped away from the Washington State political correctness, is Matt Hawkins. And so I commend him for taking on that, and he'll probably take heat for that. But bottom line is, and maybe this will actually help, you know, lift him into a better opportunity to serve, because I think he's a person that has kind of received that call or kind of understands that he needs to do that. He actually called into my national show, so you should go listen to my Red State
Red State Talk Radio podcast on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just go look for Matt Hawkins. It was, I think, last week. I think so. Or maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. See, yesterday seems like a week away. Anyway, or maybe it was Monday. Nevertheless, Matt Hawkins did call, so you can go listen to why he kind of got into it. And he basically said, why not me? Why not now? Kind of that credo. And so I respect that. I respect the fact that somebody finally gets so fed up and looks at how bad it really is. Just because Trump's the president doesn't mean that everything is going great. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. Give me a couple hours with Trump and I'll bet you he'll walk out a different man and he'll have a completely different perspective, or I'll be dead. Either way, let me get into the other races that I'm supporting. And some of these are literally, and I'll explain them case by case. So instead of just kind of creating a hyperbole or preface for all of these different races. So in the congressional district, for Congressional District 5, it is because there's a lot of contention in this particular race regarding the top two and everything else. This is really, you all and we all need to vote for Kathy McMorris Rodgers. For the legislative district 3, to me, these are kind of like just no-brainers. Vote Republican. I don't think that there is a need to necessarily call them out, but that would be Tom Taylor and Dave Lucas. Those are the ones you want to vote for if you need the name. In Legislative District 4, it's just a no-brainer. These are the incumbents. This is Matt Shea and Bob McCaslin. You want to vote for them, period, because they actually are having a contested race, but it's not a, this is going to go to the general. It's not really a primary type of thing. Same thing with Legislative District 6, Jeff Hawley, Mike Vols. And out of the two, there is a contested between Jenny Graham and John Aikens. Just vote for a Republican here. And so that way you can identify which is the best. So I did not get any warm and fuzzy. They didn't reach out to me. And, not that I'm the center of everybody's universe, but bottom line, I can't tell you with good conscience which one it would be the better, most constitutional. And if I can't do that, then I just say you need to do the due diligence on that particular race. And so, excuse me, the same thing for Legislative District 7. It just seems like, the incumbents are being challenged. Joel Kretz is the one that's really being challenged. And again, not knowing a lot of the other Republicans in that race, please do your due diligence. And actually, you've got time. Reach out to them and ask them, because if they don't come on this radio show, if they don't reach out to me, because I'm way too busy, folks. I am very focused in saving the Constitution. And if legislators and politicians aren't coming to me, I'm not really going to chase after them, especially in a state that it would just be way too much work to try to get this thing moving. That's why my focus is in Wyoming, the Dakotas, Idaho, Utah, Kansas, Tennessee, and so forth. And so anyway, the Legislative District 9, again, it is Republican, please. I do not think that the Democrats understand the Constitution. This is really not necessarily a party thing. I would love it to see that we actually get back to having an argument over who is the most constitutional party. I would love to see the Democrats try to actually compete on the basis of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. But their ideology has wired them to subjugation, where the Republican Party is, it got one foot in both sides, subjugation as well as liberty. And that's one of the reasons why Hawkins is the one that stood out, because he is outside of the status quo, outside of big government, and for individual liberty and sovereignty. So I hope to encourage him to maintain, not to be a perennial candidate, to maintain his fever and gusto in pursuing public service, so that this next time around he can get in, because he definitely has the medal for it. And so anyway, the countywide stuff, here's the important thing. Rob Chase is the guy. And I hope to have him on by next week so that we can talk to him about what's going on and how he was actually elected by the PCOs, your representatives, last year. And instead of accepting that representation, because I know that it's, you know, the decision kind of goes to the county commissioners, but they abdicated because they didn't have quorum. They didn't have enough votes. It was just one and one. And anyway, I don't want to relive that, but the bottom line is Rob Chase, it should have been a slam dunk. Rob Chase did win that election and he should be the incumbent. And I still believe that he is the better person for this position. I think all the rest of them are pretty much maybe Al French, okay, with the assessor, Leonard Christian or Tom Kors. Do your due diligence. I really do not know which way to go with these individuals because they have not come to me to brag about their credentials on supporting individual liberty and individual sovereignty. But I will say this. The auditor, this is an important one, the auditor, write in Ed Pace. He's not going to be on the ballot. He's been on this show. He was the very first politician in the state of Washington to actually sign my pledge and the only one until Matt Hawkins. I know he still stands for individual liberty and sovereignty. He is the man that really should be on the ballot, and unfortunately, he's not there. So what I'm trying to talk him into doing is doing a crowdfunding so that he can get the money. This is going to go all the way to the general as a write-in, and so I'm just asking that you make this a real legitimate race, and hopefully, write-ins have won before, and write-ins will win if we overwhelm the system, just like we were talking about with Aline in the previous segment. And then again, for the clerk, Tim Fitzgerald, so forth and so on, Michael Bumgartner, the sheriff's race, that isn't even a race. It's like the prosecuting attorney, which is Larry Haskell. There's nobody running against him. And even though there is the dumpozzy.com that is running against him, that is a joke, unfortunately, because there's no qualifications and everything else there. And so those types of races, let me be very clear. They don't need your money. They don't need any money. Those are slam dunks. Haskell and Knizovich, the sheriff, he does not need any money for his campaign. He's going to walk. He's going to dance into the election. So if you were going to and you traditionally support those candidacies, then I'm asking you to go to my website, reclaimingtherepublic.org, go to the candidate endorsements, and please send a small contribution to those people in that state who actually will have the biggest effect on your lives and your liberty. Because as they start to stand up in Wyoming, as we get this moving and you support this, as this actually starts to occur, this will have a rippling effect that will affect all the states, and Washington State will be forced into, all the patriots here fighting the progressives here, we will find that Washington State will turn red, because as we start playing these cards out, we're going to clearly articulate that the progressives are those who are supporting slavery and subjugation to the state, and the patriots are supporting individual liberty, freedom, and sovereignty. And so, anyway, so that's, those are definitely races that do not need any money. Some of these other races, as far as I'm concerned, are really slam dunks, and I don't think that these candidates need all of your money. If it is these contested races that are really close, like the legislative, District 3 with Dave Lucas, he's going to need money. Same thing with Tom Taylor. Those guys will need some money because they're trying to unseat the progressives in a blue county or blue district. So please help them out. But more importantly, just send $2, $5, send $5 to each candidate. Again, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, the candidate endorsements tab. It's on the right-hand side. You click on that and it'll take you to that page. You can find out who those candidates are. get out there and support them. If you could give them $5 a week, we're using the Bernie Sanders model in throwing money, small amounts, but a large quantity of them can really make a huge difference, especially in races like out in Wyoming, because they're not used to spending that kind of money. And so when all of a sudden, you know, somebody's able to do more radio ads and get their message out, they have a better chance of winning there, and it doesn't cost that much money. So please be a part of this. I'll be right back after word from our sponsor. So please hang on. This is really important. You're going to want this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I'm just going to jump straight into this. I don't know how many of you have ever used fasting and consecrated your money of fasting towards something, towards a worthy cause or what have you. But I will just say this, that there's probably nothing more important, and if you've ever watched my videos or what have you, you will easily understand that my consideration of the Constitution may be a little bit different than yours, because I consider it scripture for the governance of mankind, not for the salvation of mankind, but for the governance of mankind. That's why I tell people and I poke them in the eye. And if you listen to my regular show, I ask people all the time, I have a standing question. Why is it so important that we must read our founding documents kind of on a regular basis, just like our scriptures, because that's how we can start recognizing the false doctrines of government, just like false doctrines of religion. And so I would ask that if you don't have a lot of money, but you can and you want to contribute, I'd ask that maybe you fast, and the money that you don't use on the food that you send to these candidates on the candidate endorsement page on Reclaiming the Republic. I've got Bill Winnie, I've got Clarence Stiver, Carl Allred, Gregory Flesvig, and I've also got Taylor Haynes and Matt Hawkins. All six of these folks have signed pledges to protect not just their constituents, but all constituents within this republic from federal tyranny, that they're willing to take and stand up and step out and take on the Leviathan. This is huge, folks. And that's why I'm begging and pleading everybody to become a part of this, because if you do, I will tell you, you will be blessed. If this movement keeps going, this will be a true blessing for our posterity, because we will be able to preserve our Constitution as well as our individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So let me go on. I want to go back and emphasize one more thing before I lose time on this show. I want to emphasize the fact that if we all vote, then we will overwhelm the system, and making the constant adjustments to obtain the desired outcome makes it harder and harder for anybody trying to manipulate the system. We need to make it impossible for them to manipulate the system. Okay, so again, I've already kind of covered the slam dunk races. You know, there's no need in trying to look at it. I mean, it's an obvious thing. The Public Utility Commissioner, number three, I mean, he's the only person that you're going to write somebody else in. You can, but the fact of the matter, write-ins, unless it's really concentrated, like this Ed Pace write-in, there's not a lot of hope that we're all going to succinctly think, oh, this is the guy for that. Unless there's somebody that's really better, and this guy is just, you know, a no-brainer bad person for it. But anyhow, let me move on. And I know I bring this up a lot, but this is the prevailing sentiment, and yet no one wants to step up and out in the Spokane area as well as nationwide. This is a prevailing sentiment that we are all plagued with. And instead of pointing the finger at a local perspective, let me try a different tact. Because the real problem that this nation, these local communities, these counties, cities, and so forth, the real problem that we are dealing with is a systemic loss of leadership. We have managers and we have all sorts of people that are serving themselves with the drive of avarice and machinations and designs in trying to take advantage of systems. That's why the swamp is the swamp, and that's why we find the swamp everywhere. There are different words for it, and I don't want to just go into a long tirade of all of those types of things. The problem is where is the leadership who is willing to take the necessary steps to clean up the mess? And so here's the problem. I think most people look at the politicians and then they get all disappointed and upset and obtain disdain for politicians and politics because they have this dismal track of leadership. And the problem is that it's not the politicians that are the problem. It is the communities. They're hiding. Many of you are hiding from becoming active participants in this process, or there are the few that are buying into agendas to help one or a few at the expense of the whole or all the rest of us. And that's what's been happening. Some of those who are really gaining and gaining greater and greater control don't even live here, and they're not even American citizens like Soros. And I've said this so many times, the only way we can combat this is actually taking back the system and making sure that our politicians are no longer, I don't want to use the word on the take, there's a better word for it, but bottom line is they're self-serving. That's what they're doing, and we need to start centering on the Constitution. So who are those seeking help? If you look at it, all you've got to do is go to the PDC and look at every politician, every political race, every elected race, regardless of whether it's a nonpartisan or partisan, and take a look at who or what groups are buying into the influence of these individuals. There's not enough people looking at this stuff. You need to go there. You need to look and find out, wow, really? These people are buying this? And when you start recognizing that it's individuals and groups, like a good example, because I've talked about them before, Better Spokane. I mean, they're kind of a conservative organization to counter Fuse and so forth, but they're the same thing. They're trying to buy influence and making sure that whatever protections that they want and they need, they can call on those because they paid for them, if you understand what I'm saying. And if you're fed up of that, if you're fed up of giving advantage or trying to seek advantage and so forth, because it becomes human nature. Everybody wants an advantage. Well, we have to start putting our self-interest aside. You've heard me say this how many times? For 2 years now, I've been railing about putting aside our differences and our self-interest and actually centering on the principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. When you do that, it takes away your own self-interest and makes sure that everybody is being served equally and has equal access and opportunity. And so Spokane needs an impeccable organization that is centered on the Constitution and not just a few, not just a single entity or a few elites. What we need to do, and I've said this before, we need to have an organization that can actually create a PAC to be able to use political funds or funds politically in supporting those who support liberty and, you know, have literally these standards of who they're going to endorse. Bottom line, the political PAC doesn't pay a penny in this coming race unless there's somebody that is actually taking a stand for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And there has to be standards to that. You know, GR standard to that is you got to sign this pledge because you have to commit to actionable items that you are going to do. The most important things in what I truly believe what we have to do to secure our individual liberty and sovereignty. And that's why I go to my the petition scripts page on Reclaiming the Republic. It's on the right-hand side. It's a link will take you right to that page and go read those pledges. Look at the six actionable items I am seeking state legislators to do. Ask your state legislator here, the one that you believe is a good champion for freedom, have them sign it. If the Washington state one is, you know what, while I'm talking, I'm actually going to my website because, you know, it's really important that if I'm saying you to do something, then or sending you off to take something up or what, you know what, I see Washington is not up there. So I'm going to commit to you to get Washington up there by the end of business today. So by the time you've finished hearing this and by the time you get home, give me till 5:30 or 6. Washington pledge for the state legislators will be up. If you want a pledge for the sheriff, I will have it up there. If you want a pledge for any of your politicians, I will have all of Washington's pledges there for you so that you tomorrow can take it to the sheriff. You can take it to your legislator. You can take it to your county commissioner, your city council, whomever, because all of these, there are unique ones for each. And if you got a question on them, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I'm here to help. I'm not from the government. And I'm actually trying to help leaders lead. That's what leaders do. Leaders try to delegate and make sure they get out of the way once they've empowered other leaders to do good work. But we have to be centered on the core principles, and we cannot get off of these things. Those core principles, again, are individual liberty and individual sovereignty. I'm starting to hear you in your cars as you're driving. And the good thing is that you're not having an accident over this stuff anymore, that we're all able to focus and be able to, you know, absorb this stuff. It's not absorption through osmosis or what have you. Bottom line, we need to really start standing up an impeccable organization. What we have to do is we have to go after governmental organizations that are big because they are the problem. The one thing I confronted as a leader of teams in a global company was structural alignment and realignment. There was many times when I had an organization under me that really needed to go. It was better served in a different organization as we made changes, and that's what should be happening. We should not allow empire builders and those who are seeking self-interest to try to maintain a bigger and better empire. And those in government, these are those, again, that are empire builders, and their only solution is a bigger organization. God forbid they have to give up a part of their organization to another entity for more efficiency and better effectiveness, right? And so that is truly how businesses improve, but government never does that. We need to change that paradigm. Government needs to start thinking about what's best in serving the public, not serving their own empires and their own self-interest. Somehow these despotic-minded managers believe that they are the ends to solve all problems, and history and empirical data only proves this wrong. And again, people, businesses, and all citizens in this area need to step up. We all need to become a part of this. I am out of here. I'm GR Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help. God bless. See you next week.